of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. We thank God for a new month. It's always a privilege to come your way, Eben. And this is the day the Lord has made. You know, December is quite a busy month and comes with all sorts of feelings and what people think and say. The last month is a difficult month, the last month is this and that and that, but I believe it's all about how we see these things as believers and as Christians. And sometimes it's also a month that people feel discouraged and they feel down and disappointed. It's like the time of assessment, and it's like the year has been a failure and all that. And ideally, it shouldn't be so, but it's these are the natural realities of life and all that. So we'll be talking a bit about it. You know, I've been talking about knowing the God we serve and all that. The aspect of being able to defend our faith is very important. I'll get back to it, but for this evening, I was preparing for to just continue the normal series I'm on, but I just, the Spirit more of directed me like to someone or some people maybe so down, someone at the point of feeling the need to like just give it all up, commit suicide, leave, because it's like the year is ending and they've not been able to achieve the targets and what the goals they set and all that, you know. But this evening I'm here to encourage you that it's not over. We shouldn't end it all and all that. I'll be back after we talk about the news, and then we'll be delving deeper. We'll be talking a bit. We'll be getting into the Word of God to encourage ourselves. Because, you see, sometimes we can get to the point where we just give it up. We think it's not worth it. We think God has not heard our prayers. God is not there for us and all that. People have failed, and it may seem as if God is also failing. You know, but the reality is God hasn't failed. But, you know, we have to encourage ourselves. So, first, we talk about the news, what's happening in the news. You know, we know about the war going on in they had a peace, a treaty. More of they agreed on, there was a truce. So, the Gaza bombings stopped whilst they were releasing some prisoners in batches for a number of days. But the war has resumed, and unfortunately they've not released all the prisoners, the hostages, but the bombing has started. Israel has continued. The Gazans started, the Hamas started the bombings first, and then Israel automatically will not sit idle. They also get back to retaliate, and they do it harder and stronger, and that's still ongoing. Okay, so let's get into some of the news. Where we have huge 7.7 magnitude quake. That's quite a heavy one. It's Philippines, and it's been triggered a tsunami warning. And it's quite a serious one. 7.7 is huge. Then we have major surge in white lung syndrome, as China has been ordered to release more data regarding the outbreak. And for those who have been following the foreign news, there's a sort of medical situation in China. You know, just bring back the memories of COVID, how COVID started, and you know, the denials, and it's not a serious thing, but then it started spreading from one country to the other and all that. And it seems like we are getting to something like that, because it started in China and the WHO is requesting for more data. China, as usual, will try to suppress information. They are saying that it's being sorted. It's not a big deal. But then it's in the US, it's in the Netherlands, and this headline says, mystery pneumonia outbreak showing worrying similarities to how COVID started. Then another headline in Taiwan, it says, Taiwan urging children, elderly and vulnerable to not travel to mainland China due to mystery pneumonia outbreak. And I'll just read a quick one from one of the summaries. The news says, pneumonia cases in children are reaching epidemic levels in Denmark, with chilling similarities to the beginnings of coronavirus. White lung syndrome, pneumonia, nicknamed due to how the lung damage shows up on the scans, is caused by Mycoplasma pneumoniae, a bacteria infection that many antibiotics cannot fight. Wow. The Netherlands also reported a worrying increase in children with pneumonia, and Sweden is being affected as well. The disease spreads through coughing, sneezing, talking, singing, and breathing through tiny respiratory droplets. So just like COVID, as we knew it, the WHO has demanded fresh data from China about the hospitalizations. But China's minister Wang Yi said the situation is under control. That is a very common phenomenon in many countries, and in China, that has been put under effective control. You know, the Chinese, they always suppress information that is negative on their side. All right, this headline says, Russia set to send fighter jets and attack helicopters to Iran. The move could strengthen ties that already concern the U.S. You know, Iran, you know, we have these axis of evil countries where, like, U.S. and the West are very concerned about their relationship and how closer they are getting in these times. You have Iran, China, Russia, North Korea. These four are more of like, you know, the bad boys in class, you know. And when you see their meetings together, ganging up, the West is really worried because they just don't know what next these people are plotting and planning. It can be serious because North Korea has, I mean, said that he has his satellites now pointing towards the White House, and he has full view of White House. The West is trying to downplay it, but well, you don't know. Well, you know, so we have the issue of nuclear. North Korea has nuclear, as they claim. China has, Russia, of course. I mean, several, and Iran is still in the process, supposedly still creating, trying to create. But when North Korea is your friend and Russia is your friend, I don't believe it's much of a difficulty in trying to do something that they have done over the years. So they may pretend as if they are still trying to, but it could well be that they've done it already, because the main agenda for Iran seeking to do or get into nuclear production and all is because of Little Satan and Big Satan, as they call them. That's Little Satan being Israel, Big Satan being America. Quite ironical how they can call this Satan little and big. Okay, so we have this headline that says, Disney's new Christmas movie sexualizes children, but is anyone really shocked? Well, I've been saying it on this program for some time. If you've been listening about this programming by the Cartoon Network and the other Nickelodeon and all these networks and the channels like Disney. So Disney is sexualizing kids and pushing LGBT identification, even in a TV that's a PG family movie about Christmas. At the 11:55 mark of the Naughty 9, released on November 22nd, that's last 2 weeks, I believe. Last week? Okay, whatever. Disney portrays the lead female character's home. Her four siblings are opening gifts around the Christmas tree, and one child tells another to go to dad, quote unquote dad. Dad is shown standing alongside a much taller man who has his arm around dad's shoulder, which he then lingeringly drapes along dad's back as they walk off. There's no mom around, just in case it's not clear to the audience. Later, they are referred to as dads. So, D-A-D-S, two fathers, two dads. In other words, I mean, they are projecting male-male parenting situation. Portraying two dads is as normal is one thing, but in another scene, at the 19 minutes, 5 seconds mark, John Anthony, a boy with gay mannerisms, played by Derek Maccabee, is selling clothing under his own designer label to a potential buyer, also asking about an item. He gestures to another taller male and says, "I told that hottie over there I'll sell to him for $200. Hollywood's Christmas movies rarely include the Christ in Christmas anymore. Please nudge," and then goes on to warn about the fact that they just take the Christ out of it. And with this scene, Disney is sexualizing children and blurring the lines of what's acceptable behavior. Later on, John also calls the male lead character Andy cute, which isn't quite as sexual as Hottie, but adds that element. And then they cite other parts in the movie. I've explained how some of these things work out. It's done in, designed in the way of reaching to your subliminal, part of your brain. So it's not directly, you won't see it as a direct sexualization, because there's no nudity involved, no. But then the whole message is designed to send a message to your brain, subconscious mind, about acceptability and the normalization of whatever practice they are showing. Let me give an example so that I can appreciate this concept I'm explaining. Hollywood for years has been a major conduit by which the systems, the powers that be, used to indoctrinate people to accept some policies and things in the world ahead of time. One instance was before Obama became a president, the first black president in the U.S., a number of action movies and movies, Hollywood movies, they started pushing the concept of Mr. President being a black man. So the U.S. president was a dark skin. And a number of A-class movies had Mr. President, a dark skin, Mr. President. It is unconsciously they use this to let the mind of the watchers of these movies see it as an acceptable thing, that it's possible to have a black person as a president of the U.S. So by the time Obama came onto the scene, Hollywood has unconsciously marketed this concept in the minds of people already, and it was acceptable. They tried the same, but unfortunately, the last minute, it just didn't work out with Hillary. So, if you watch the series 24 and a whole lot of other action ones, they started using Madam President, ahead of that famous election where she last minute didn't make it. Because even some big newspapers in the U.S. printed Madam President, congratulations and all, and it just backfired and Trump came in. So they were just dead sure that she was going to be. The system knew she would. So, but they used this Hollywood mindset, then subliminal conscious programming, to send a message of a woman president is acceptable. So they use Hollywood all the time for these things. I remember I read here one statement Mrs. Obama made about congratulating and thanking Hollywood for the role they've played in promoting LGBT across the world. And you ask yourself, Hollywood, yes, because they started pushing in small contents in movies, and down the time, we are seeing how this thing is becoming an issue. More countries are signing up, laws are being passed to legalize it, and gay marriage and all these things. So they know the impact Hollywood makes on the mind. They know it. So these cartoons or full movies by Disney and all that, parents have to be aware, because some of these scenes are as little as just sometimes 15 seconds. Just a short scene. See, but the mind will pick it. So unconsciously, they are programming the children's minds as they watch these things. And we can see the effect of what's happening in the Western world now, especially in America, where the system, this whole LGBT programming in the minds of the children, they've used the entertainment industry like the Disney's and then the educational system. And see, so in countries like Ghana, where the educational system has not been tempered with as they had wanted to, you know, some time back, now the only way they can have access to our children here in Ghana will be through the entertainment system, of which, you know, some channels are just showing things. Sometimes wonder if they do any previewing or before they even bring it to the main public, because children can be watching. See, these are the dangers. That's why parents who listen to this program, I talk about this. We've done digital parenting a number of times and editions. We address the issues and the dangers involved, how parents should be alert about the content they expose their children to, and all that. So this is just one of such scenes I'm addressing and talking about. Now to the US, we have Catholic Women's College to accept men who identify as women. A prominent all-women's college in Indiana says it will begin accepting biological men who identify as women as part of a new policy that is drawing pushback from the head of the region's Catholic diocese. The president of St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana, pointed in an email last week to a board-approved non-discrimination policy that considers admission for undergraduate applicants whose sex is female or who consistently live and identify as women. You know, this thing, we are seeing it all around in the news. You see it, you know, people, it's like there's something that is happening where you have men, quote unquote men, who out of mischief and all sort of, you know, they want to do bad things and all that. Some are just pretending and saying that they are women, so they want to be among women. And then when they are among the women now, then they take advantage. You know, all these things are happening. You read the news and sometimes you wonder what's wrong with the society now. How can you have a prison, a female prison, and then you bring in men who say they are females? And these men are, you know, broad shoulders and they still have their genitals and everything. They say they are females. And now they get to, I remember last year, so I read some of the news here. In one prison, a number of females have become pregnant because they brought in this so-called female, man-female, who is just having a field day in the prison. And it's like, you just wonder, where is common sense? Where is common sense in the world now? It's as if the system has become, it's just moving on autopilot of directionless, anything goes, just allow anything to happen. And this is the world we live in. Maybe we have this interesting wonder, Elon Musk, you know, one of the rich guys now, the owner of X and then former Twitter, X as they call it now, and Tesla, and then I think Space, whatever, I think it's in the news. But let me read the headline and then I get into the news details. Elon Musk warns that artificial intelligence, AI, could create, quote, immortal dictator from which we can never escape, unquote. Superintelligence, a form of artificial intelligence, AI, smarter than humans, could create an immortal dictator, according to billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk. In a documentary by American filmmaker Chris Payne, Musk said that the development of superintelligence by a company or other organization of people could result in a form of AI that governs the world. The least scary future I can think of is one where we have at least democratized AI, because if one company or small group of people manages to develop a godlike digital superintelligence, they could take over the world, according to Musk. At least when there's an evil dictator, that human is going to die. But for AI, there would be no death. It would live forever, and then you would have an immortal dictator from which we can never escape. If AI has a goal and humanity just happens to be in the way, it will destroy humanity as a matter of course, without even thinking about it. No hard feelings, Musk said. It's just like if you are building a road and an anthill just happens to be in the way. We don't hate ants, we are just building a road, and so we could say goodbye to the anthill. Then you say, last year, Musk warned that the global race towards AI could result in a third world war. The entrepreneur has also suggested that emerging technology could pose a greater risk to the world than a nuclear conflict with North Korea. Musk believes that humans should merge with AI to avoid the risk of becoming irrelevant. He is the co-founder of Neuralink, a startup that reportedly wants to link the human brain with a computer interface. And I think, yeah, in the US this year, I think the FDA has given him the license to proceed with test trials. And so I don't know how they are going to go about. But you know, just as we've been seeing in scientific fiction movies, these are the things they want to bring to life, where the human brain has chip embedded and, you know, so superhumans. And that's what he's seeking to do. You know, the way this world is going to be in the next few years, Christ Iris, is going to be something else. Because with this superhuman things being worked on and behind the scenes, officially those that they are telling us, we know. But, you know, I remember reading a book some time back, and excerpt of it said, before you get to know some things as the world, officially, that means behind the scenes there are several others that you have no idea about, which may even be more advanced than, and that has to do with technology, because before a lot of things come to be public for you and I, the ordinary people, to also have access to, that means they've reached a super higher level than what you are having. And that's always the case before they release. So I remember years back, one of my mates was working one of the security, top security institutions in the US, and we were having a chat, and then he was, at that point in time, the pen drive, that's the standard pen drive, the highest pen drive you can get to buy anywhere in a normal IT shop, was I think 512 megabytes. There was no 1 gig, not even 1 gig. By that time, where he was working, the pen drive that he uses in, because it's a high security place and all that, they were using as high, they were in the terabytes, but there was no terabytes. I mean, even megabytes was not in the public for you to buy, but they were higher than them. So that's how these systems work. So you can imagine that, because China is doing very wild projects with this intelligence, they are working on robot, I mean human super robots and all that for future warfare. And if America, if China is doing it, clearly you can imagine America will be doing it. And behind the scenes, we don't know what Russia is also doing. So the future is just something else when it comes to AI and the problems it's going to create for humanity. Oh yes, because it's automatically something that's, no matter whether we accept it or not, is going to cause problems. The negatives are going to come up. I said it some time back on this program about the negatives, like some of the job losses and the imposition of, you know, systems that would restrict humans in some ways. There are a whole lot of things that these things are going to cause. But then let's get to Nigeria, and you know, when you mention Nigeria, you can know the news is not going to be that good. Pastor's wife and mother of 2-month-old baby fatally shot in Nigeria. You know, this is just one of the many, many, many stories that come from Nigeria almost every week or every other. We see something, and the pastor's husband, oh no, so the woman's husband, who is the pastor, you know, was, I mean, it's a serious, heartbreaking thing, but the man is encouraged that the wife, being a believer and all that, no, it's assured of the wife taking the lead to heaven. You know, you see, Nigeria's case is one thing which makes this whole, when you really understand what is happening there in the northern Nigeria, it makes it important to understand why I'm talking about this interfaith thing and all that, because you see, it gives you, you see the real contradiction. Because if indeed it is what they claim it is, why is what is happening in Nigeria happening in the northern Nigeria? I mean, this is simple common sense. If indeed that is what is that we are, or will we serve the same God? If we serve the same God, then there should be no conflict amongst us. Why should you kill one another? If we serve the same God, there should be no problem. But is that the case? You see, and that's why we should understand and know why we serve and that the God we serve, and be able to defend our faith. And that's the reason why I was talking about the series I was on recent times. And then this interesting news, at least this one is good news, from Gaza. Hundreds in Gaza reports Jesus appearing to them in dreams. You know, I've talked about similar instances in other countries, in other Muslim countries too before. And this one says, in the war-torn region of Gaza, a remarkable story is unfolding, echoing the biblical prophecies of the end time. According to Christian professor Michael Lecona, more than 200 Muslim men have experienced life-altering visions of Jesus in their dreams, leading them to embrace Christianity. Mm-hmm. I hope you heard that. If we serve the same God, why would this happen? Why would Jesus visit them in a dream? Lecona, a New Testament studies professor at Houston Christian University, shared this extraordinary account through a Facebook post. God is working in the midst of war. This news coming out of Palestine from underground Christian ministries. Over the past 2 days, we have ministered to hundreds of fathers who have lost most, if not all, of their children in the war. As we moved these men to safety, we fed them, washed their clothes, and began to read the Bible to them, sharing the way of peace through Jesus. Then a big miracle happened. Last night, Jesus appeared to more than 200 of them in their dreams. They have come back to us to learn more about God's word and are asking how to follow Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. I side with Israel in this war, not necessarily for theological reasons, but because Hamas and those backing it are pure evil. Yet, I know that not all Palestinians support Hamas. In fact, they will be punished severely if even suspected they are suspected of not supporting Hamas. Let's pray that this war can be over soon and that Israel can eradicate Hamas so that Palestinians can be free of Hamas. So this is the post the pastor said, sent or posted, this professor. Wow, it's a beautiful one. And it keeps happening in the Middle East and other Muslim worlds, countries. I've said this before, yeah, for those who have listened to, years back, I've shared it a number of times, where I know of a case where pastor, a friend whose friend is a pastor, had one particular day, he was in Tunisia at a point working for ADB, African Development Bank, before he was moved to another country. So at that point, he knew the pastor directly. And in one particular day, 12 men all came at different times in the day at the pastor's office. And when they come, they all described, we saw the man in white in their description. See, it's amazing how God works. Very amazing. You see how the Gaza one is like he shows and then now gives them the instruction about the need to follow him. So now they have to go back to their Christians, and then now they will be taught. So, like in the case of the Tunisia one, all of them, they were directed to go to this particular church to go and meet the pastor, and then now he leads them to Christ, and then he fellowship disciples them and all that. So, but in as much as it's a good news and all that, the other side of it too is an indictment on the church's failure, because the church is not also doing what has to be done. It has gotten to the point where now Jesus has to do the work he said we should do. He said we should go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Because we have refused to go and we are not even thinking about it and we've not even seen it as a priority or anything important now in our time, he has to now do the work he said we should do. And that's a big indictment on all of us as Christians, because it obviously means we are failing to do the work. you know, it's important, because if we were doing what we had to do as believers, there will be no need for him to come and intervene to also do. But because of our lack of interest and lack of action, this is what is happening. But there's another good news from Iran. Let me finish with this. Iranians secretly translating the Bible into their heart languages. Heart languages to share Christ with their people. As the underground church continues to grow in the Muslim majority Iran, Bible translators are putting their lives on the line to bring the gospel into the local dialect, so that their friends and neighbors can have access to the written word of God for the first time. Through the work of the translation agency Unfolding Word, Christians in Iran and across the globe have been able to translate the gospel themselves into more native languages. The Christian Post interviewed a representative from Unfolding Word, Ivan Thompson, who preferred to use a fake name or pseudonym for his safety. There are 1.45 billion people in the world who speak about 5,500 languages that do not have the whole Bible in their hearts' languages. Wow. That's serious. The church has expanded exponentially in the last 20 years. And what these folks have learned is that you can lead someone to Christ, but if they don't have a church, they don't survive on their own, Thompson said. You can start a church, but if that church doesn't have the Bible in its heart language, it typically only lasts one generation. Iran, for example, has churches operating underground, and there are thousands of underground churches in many other parts of the world, he added. Unfolding Word, a non-profit organization that has been around for roughly 7 years, works with church leaders around the world who are seeking to establish their churches in sound doctrine, but lack access to Bible translations in the languages their people speak. The Christian Post heard from two Iranian women risking their lives to help translate Unfolding Word's open Bible story resources from Farsi into other Iranian dialects for evangelizing. Both women Bible translators have chosen not to give their real names for this article to protect their identities and maintain their safety. The first woman, using the name Miriam, said she gave her heart to Jesus, to Christ, after coming to the realization that she is God's child and daughter. Miriam is part of a people group in Iran that is made up of millions of natives. She says she is often treated as a second-class citizen because of how those from other people groups view her status in her people group. Miriam's life could be in danger if the Iranian government finds out she follows Jesus in the Islamic Republic, with which Open Doors ranks as the 8th most hostile country for Christians. God is my father. I feel deeply honored to be part of this work and bring God's word to my people, Miriam said. Despite having children and knowing that her life is at risk of believing in Jesus, Miriam said she will not stop working to translate the gospel into their heart language. I cannot even imagine leaving this work unfinished. I must complete this work and see the result. I want to see my beloved ones experience salvation in Christ. This is my dream, that my people can talk about God and speak his name freely without any hesitation. Without any fear, they can talk about God, she said. Miriam was introduced to Christianity through a friend in college who gave her a Farsi New Testament. Farsi is the main language in Iran. She said she had to read the Bible alone in secret, an act that left her without much of a clear understanding of the Christian faith. After college, Miriam married into a strict Muslim family. But no matter how hard she tried to adapt to the strict religious practices of Islam, she could not find God as a Muslim. Miriam said she didn't give her life entirely to Jesus until she heard about Transform, an online class offered in Iran that covered the basic teachings of Christianity. She watched the classes secretly through various digital platforms, and during one of the class sessions, she gave her life to Christ. Following her conversion, Miriam's husband caught her one day watching the Transform Iran pastor on TV. Miriam could no longer hold back the truth about her faith from her husband. By the grace of God, he did not get angry. He said, "I know you are a serious-minded woman, and if this is important to you, it's okay," Miriam recalled. Wow. Miriam's husband began watching the class with her, and several months later, he also gave his life to Christ. Whoa, beautiful. Before her husband's conversion, the transformed Iran pastor asked her if she could get involved in the Bible translation because her expertise in her heart's language. Miriam accepted the offer, even if that meant risking her life to help translate the Bible into more Iranian tongues. "We are not allowed to study our heart's languages in Iranian public school. This is a limitation for our people. I have this language speciality and experience, this expertise, so that I can help my own people. People like my mother can read this book," Miriam said. "I have a Bible in Farsi and I can read it, but I cannot understand the more complicated concepts in it because Farsi is not my heart language. I couldn't establish a relationship with the Bible in Farsi. I'm very fluent in Farsi. I studied hard and had great teachers. Still, I cannot establish a relationship with the Bible in Farsi," she continued. "How about other people who don't have any educational advantages, my family and friends? Having the gospel in my heart language makes it much easier to talk to my family about Jesus. They can understand and accept him easily." Another Iranian Bible translator, who is using the pseudonym Stella, accepted Jesus into her heart after her husband died of cancer. Following her husband's death, Stella was left alone to care for her young son. During that time, she relied on the peace of God as her only hope. "God has helped me. The name of Jesus Christ was in my life. I didn't need anyone. Jesus fed me, put clothes on me, and gave me peace," Stella learned about God through a Bible translator into Farsi. And then at first she thought Christianity was a religion, but now she understands that Christianity is a relationship. "When I was a new believer, I was thinking that, okay, I'm going to just switch religions. But when I got to know the Holy Spirit, I understood that this is a relationship, not a religion." Stella is currently working on a Bible translation in her heart language, and her sister-in-law became a Christian thanks to her for working there on the translation of the Bible. And it goes on and on. You know, these are very beautiful stories that you get. I mean, Christian posts sometimes feature some of these untold stories behind the scenes, what people are going through and what people are working on. And you know, it's important we get to know some of these things. It encourages us as well, because sometimes we think all is well with us. We think we are doing our best, we are doing everything right, but you get to know that we are just living in complacence. We are just deceiving ourselves, thinking we've achieved so much, we've arrived. But when you hear what others are doing, you realize you've not reached anywhere at all, because the circumstances under which these people are doing what they are doing, compared to what we have, the opportunities we have, and the little we are doing, it's really unfortunate and it's really sad. You can imagine how God feels about our situation. We have access to all the Bibles we can think of, the various versions. We have the, you know, soft copy, soft cover, hard cover, you know, large print, small print, digital, audio, this and that, everything we have. But even that's trouble. We are not reading. It's I don't know. There's something wrong with us. There's something really, really wrong with us. You know, it's always refreshing and challenging when you see videos of communities who are getting the Bible for the first time, and you can see the joy in their hearts, the tears of joy and the passion, and it makes you feel that we've not done enough with what we have. Because, you know, there's one such video where the community, this rural community, I think somewhere in Pacific or somewhere, those areas where so the plane, so small plane, lands on the park. The community has gathered at the park. The plane, small plane, bring in the Bible, lands, and can see the excitement and the tears of joy when they receive them. You know, it's such an encouragement to see some of these things and to let us know that we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do, because at the end of the day, we are all working on our salvation to go to the same heaven. These people are also working on to go. And can you imagine how God sees, these people with all the negatives, the difficulties, language limitations, no Bibles in their languages, and yet the passion is there, they get it, and they are doing everything. You know, some of the Chinese, it's one of the ironies of this whole thing is the Chinese one, where China, most Bibles are printed in China, but amazingly, it's printed and then it has to be exported. And the difficulty in having Bibles in some parts of China is something else. And when you see, you can just search YouTube, you find some of the videos where Chinese Christians, underground churches, getting Bibles for the first time, how people are holding on to the Bible in tears, crying and all that. And somewhere they don't even have access to it, so they have to, you know, share. So it's like one Bible for a house church, underground church. So the Bible is all that one. All of us, we have to read and share one. So they pull out the pages. So maybe you pull out Genesis 1 to Genesis 8. Then I'm going to copy it, and then I bring it the next meeting. Then you, someone else also takes Genesis 9 to Genesis 15, Genesis 16 to Genesis 20 something. So we all pull out portions of the Bible to go and copy. Then you bring it, exchange, and then come and pick other portion to also go. So in copying, they are learning it, and then as well as they are getting their own version of the Bible. You know, this is what people are going through. People are doing all this for the love of Christ and for the love of the faith that they profess. You know, it's serious, because if imagine, if you have to copy, take you, you are listening, if you are listening in your room, look at your Bible, and you have to copy virtually the entire Bible. You have to copy the whole Bible handwritten, and for you have to, that's what you can have as a Bible for yourself. You have to copy it, hand copy it, Genesis to Revelation. Wow, it's not a small thing. But people are doing it so that they can have a copy of their own Bible to call theirs. It sends a certain message. And I believe some of these things, I don't know why I'm talking about it, but I believe it's to encourage someone to be more serious with the Word of God, and let's see it from a different perspective and a different light of it. All right, so let me just take a little breather. I will be back.
When we have a work to do, and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when He steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when He steps in. Sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In the moment you call, when you give Him your all, He steps in. He steps in and He'll say, in your hands. a reflection of where you are. That's when he steps in, oh yes. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it and break it and give it. He'll multiply it in the moment you live it, and in the moment you call. When you've given your all, he steps in. I can use it. If you're willing to lose it, take a little you have and make it rain. I am El Shaddai, and I'll more than supply your need.
Beautiful song by Alvin Slaughter. Sometimes you just feel that there's nothing you can do about your situation. You just feel that you've come to your wit's end, and you'd begin to hear the devil whispering to you that there's no option left than to just take it up. I mean, leave, kill yourself, end it all. Just to have your peace of mind and all that, you know, the devil would be pushing, create scenarios that makes it more convincing that that's the best option, because men have disappointed you, people have promised you, and the promises seem to be just, you know, forgotten soon after. You've prayed and prayed, you've fasted, you've waited on the Lord, you've done all the spiritual things you can imagine, and it seems your prayers are just not going anywhere or getting anywhere. And it just looks as if, I mean, the whole system is against you. You look at the whole Christian family that you have, and it's like nobody is able to help you. Your church is not able to help you, and your family seems not to care about your situation. You just feel alone, you just feel lonely in the pain that you share, you bear. But there are times where, in situations like this, that is also the time when you also have to recognize the fact that you become very vulnerable, and the devil would take advantage of it. So perhaps you are just having that urge to just give it up, having that urge to just end it all. The issue is not about ending it. Doesn't end the issue. Doesn't, it just looks like it would, but it does not. It doesn't end it. It rather complicates and starts a whole big issue afterwards. And you have to find someone to talk to if need be, because you just don't consider that option. It's not going to be helpful. It isn't going to, it's not going to help you. It's not going to solve the problem. And I believe the difficult time sometimes you go through is something which, depending on the case, depending on the situation, can really drag on and make it feel like you've wasted your time in this earth and on this earth and all that. But this evening, be encouraged that sometimes you can start something and you just feel like it's not worth continuing it again. You just feel like it's not worth giving, pursuing. But you know, the same God who started the year with us from January 1st and today being 2nd December, if God was not in charge of your affairs, God was not with you and all that, you would not have come this far. It's only the grace of God. See, perhaps things, you've lost things, but the issue is you could have lost far more bigger things than what you lost. In the situation, no matter how bad your situation is, you have to recognize that it could have been worse. It could have been worse. So this is, if you see life from that angle, it becomes possible. That is how it becomes possible. In the midst of the storms, you can still look up to God and you can still thank God in the midst of the storms. See, sometimes when you read that in everything give thanks, it's like, how can it be? How can it be that in everything give thanks? But when you get to appreciate the fact that the situation could have been worse. The situation could have been worse. And there are others who are even aspiring and just hoping that their situation was like yours. Then you realize that there's still a reason to thank God. So in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the circumstances, when it feels like there's no reason to thank God, you can still find hope and you can still find a reason. Let's read this verse in Zechariah chapter 4. Let's read the 6 to 9. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 9, this is my emphasis, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. You know, there was more of a ridicule as to, like, Zerubbabel has started the temple, rebuilding the temple. He has started. He can't finish. He won't be able to finish, type of thing. And, you know, sometimes you look at your life and you find yourself in a similar scenario where it seems that you've started the year, the things you started, you've not been able to finish, the things you put your hands to do, the business, whatever. It seems it's just, even ministry, you started something and it just seems it's not working. Encourage yourself that as you trust and look up to God, the same hands that you use to start whatever it is that you started, these same hands will be able to finish it. These same hands will be able to complete it. Have this encouragement. I like the way it puts it. Like, the hands of Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Whatever the situation is that you've started, depend and look up to God to help you to finish it. You know, sometimes we give up rather, that is when we should be getting ready to finish. When we give up, thinking the challenges are just too overwhelming, so there's no need to pursue again. But then encourage yourself that the same God who started with you will be there to help you to finish it. Just that the whole thing depends on you, because He is there. He is God. He hasn't changed. But the issue of change is on our side as humans, because we can change based on our feelings and our expectations and our disappointments and whatever. But then if we are to also stay constant with His guidance, with His presence, and stay focused on Him, trusting in Him, as we start with Him, we should then know that He will also finish with us. See, He started the year with you. Trust and live according to the fact and the faith that He will finish it with you. You see, as I said earlier when I started, December has it's a mixed feeling for some. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly type of thing. Some are excited, some have the joy. Some too are worried and disappointed and feel frustrated, feel disappointed. I mean, all that because the year is about to end. You have barely just a few weeks or a few days, the year ends, and it's like they've not achieved all the things they wrote, they planned, they want to do. I mean, all the things they listed, nowhere in sight as to completion. And it's as if they started it, but they can't finish. But you see, let this verse in Zechariah chapter 4, 9 encourage you that the same hands that you used to start it, these same hands you're using to complete whatever you started. You know, the only factor that will make it possible to start with the same hands and finish with the same hands is the God factor. So we shouldn't take him out of the equation. You see, once we take the God factor out of the equation, that becomes a human element where now you're on your own. And that's where the difficulty comes in. And that is where the frustration comes in. That's where all the disappointment and all the whatever that makes it difficult to achieve whatever you want to achieve, that's where these challenges come in. But if we keep the God factor constant, then this same God who started with us will be able to finish with us. The same God who helped you to start whatever you it is that you've not been able to finish yet, and you feel like giving up, you think it's over, there's no hope, you think it's not worth it and all that. Look up to this same God to help you to finish it off successfully. And I believe when we decide to focus on him, he will be able to help us to accomplish whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter how bad the situation is. It doesn't matter. God is still the same God. If you see, every miracle in the Bible, it happened for the first time. There's no miracle that at the time it was happening, because at the time when Noah was building the ark, that was the first time. The first time, it has never happened. At the time Moses crossing the Red Sea, the first time, all the plagues, Moses did various plagues. That was the first time it was happening, and it was being recorded. All through, fast forward to the time of Jesus, at anything that every miracle, it was the first time. Manna coming in the wilderness, the first time. Quails coming, the first. Everything that God did, the recorded miracles that we have in the Word of God, it was the first time it was happening. So the issue of God doing something that has not happened to be, I mean, it's like this one there, it has never happened, nobody has seen it, nobody has done this thing, it cannot be done. No, I mean, if God was able to do those things for the first time, what makes your case an exceptional, difficult and impossible for God? No. Yours too can be a first time. No matter your situation, it can also be a first time. The various people Jesus healed, it was the first time he was healing them. That type of healing was the first time. So what makes your situation an impossibility to also be a first time in your family, a first time in your life, in your country, in whatever society? What makes it difficult for God? It's still possible. So don't give up and don't lose hope. Eben, the program ends here, and I believe God willing, next week I'll be coming your way as we continue our discussions. This is recorded and it will be on Issues, the Telegram group Spirit Issues, and then the website, you have spiritissues.info. You can listen to it again. And as I said, my emphasis today has been to encourage the downhearted, the downtrodden, the disappointed, those who are just giving it up and think they should just commit suicide and leave the system. Be encouraged and don't give up the faith. All right, so good night and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian Hit Music.